Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Fourth Canto, Chapter 31, Text Number 11. Shutena tapasa va kim vachobis chitta vritti bi buja va kim nipunaya balenendriya radhasa Shutena tapasa vakim vachobis chitta vrittivi buja vakim nipunaya bale nendriya radasa Shutena tapasa vakim Vacho vis chitta vritti vi Bujava kim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Ena tapasava kim Vacho vis chitta vritti vi Puja vakim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Shutena tapasa vakim Vachobis chitta vritti vi Puja vakim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Shutena tapasa vakim Vachobis chitta vritti vi Yavakim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Shutena tapasa vakim Vachobis chitta vritti vi Ujavakim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Tena tapasa vakim Nishtita vittivi Ujavakim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Ladies, Shutena tapasa vakim Chitta vritti vi Buja vakim nipunaya Balen indriya radasa Shutena tapasa vakim Penaya Balen Indriya Radasa Shutena Tapasa Vakim Vachobis Chitta Vritti Bi Javakim Nipunaya Balen Indriya Radasa Jena tapasa vakim Vachobis chitta vritti bi Vijabhakim Nipunaya Balenindriya Radhasa Shutena. By Vedic education, tapasa, by austerities, va, or kim, what is the meaning, vochobi, by words, chitta, of consciousness, vrittibi, by the occupations, bhuja, by intelligence, ba, or kim, what is the use, nipunaya, expert, balena, by bodily strength, indriya radhasa, by power of the senses. Translation: without devotional service, what is the meaning of severe austerities, the process of hearing, the power of speech, the power of mental speculation, elevated intelligence, strength, and the power of the senses. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. From the Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3 we learn, Nayamatma pravachene na labhyo na medaya na bahuna shutena Yamevaisha vritune tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrinute tanum swam. Our relationship with the Supreme Lord is never advanced by simple study of the Vedas. There are many Mayavadi sannyasis fully engaged in studying the Vedas, Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads, but unfortunately they cannot grasp the real essence of knowledge. In other words, they do not know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What then is the use of studying all the Vedas if one cannot grasp the essence of the Vedas, Krishna? The Lord confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedais cha sarvair ahameva veja, by all the Vedas I am to be known. There are many religious systems wherein penances and austerities are greatly stressed. But at the end, no one understands Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is therefore no point in such penance, tapasya, if one has actually approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not need to undergo severe austerities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is understood through the process of devotional service. In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is explained as Rajaguyam, the king of all confidential knowledge. There are many good reciters of the Vedic literatures, and they recite works such as Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these professional reciters manifest very good scholarship and exhibit word jugglery. Unfortunately, they are never devotees of the Supreme Lord. Consequently, they cannot impress upon the audience the real essence of knowledge, Krishna. There are also many thoughtful writers and creative philosophers, but despite all their learning, if they cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are simply useless mental speculators. There are many sharply intelligent people in this material world, and they discover so many things for sense gratification. They also analytically study all the material elements. But despite their expert knowledge and expert scientific analysis of the whole cosmic manifestation, their endeavors are useless because they cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as our senses are concerned, there are many animals, both beasts and birds, who are very expert in exercising their senses more keenly than the human beings. For example, vultures or hawks can go very high in the sky, but can see a small body on the ground very clearly. This means that their eyesight is so keen that they can find an eatable corpse from a great distance. Certainly their eyesight is much keener than the human beings, but this does not mean that their existence is more important than that of a human being. Similarly, dogs can smell many things from far distance. Many fish can understand the power of sound, that an enemy is coming. All these examples are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. If one's senses cannot help him attain the highest perfection of life, realization of the Supreme, then they're all useless. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Satarane Namo Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaura Tvishe Namaha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopisha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana Gaurange, Radhe Vrindavanishwari, Vishabhanu, Sute Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priya. Vansha Kalpa, Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. This is the theme that we find. This is the basic theme of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. Only by devotional service can you know me, Krishna is saying. And he describes that he is the goal of the Vedas, he is the origin of everything. So service to Krishna, that's what the Bhagavatam is all about. Devananda Pandit in Navadvip, he was a great scholar somehow of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was teaching, but he didn't understand bhakti. And when Srivas Thakur sat down to listen to him, and he heard the Bhagavatam, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy, and he fell on the ground, and the students took him outside and threw him out like he was a crazy person. The great Lord Chaitanya took great offense. He went past his place and he was shouting, "You're a fool, you don't know anything about Srimad Bhagavatam, you're a rascal," just on and on and on. But then he was blessed, Devananda Pandit, that one day Vakreshwar Pandit, he saw him in the kirtan, and he was attracted to the ecstatic kirtan of Vakreshwar Pandit and the dancing. We know Vakreshwar Pandit was a special dancer. He said he could dance for 72 hours, but he couldn't find a kirtan party that could play for 72 hours. He was praying for some Gandharvas to come. And this Devananda somehow became attracted, and Vakreshwar was sweating and he would fall on the ground and get, you know, dirty. And so Vakreshwar would pick him up and clean him up, wipe him off, and then he would stay behind him, so if he fell over he'd catch him. And he started to serve him and associate with him, and he became purified. And then he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he asked him, you know, "What is the Bhagavatam all about then?" You say, "I don't know anything about it." And we have scholars like that. They actually know it by heart. They can recite backward and forward and inside out, but they don't know bhakti. They don't know Krishna. They just think it's nice writing, nice ideas. So Lord Chaitanya told him, "It's all about bhakti, nothing else. That's the Bhagavatam. It's all bhakti and it's all auspicious. If you just keep the Bhagavatam in your house, and everything will be auspicious." So that's our instruction. And this is what we've learned from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's purports make that very clear. The way Srila Prabhupada organized the ISKCON Society and our activities make that very clear. And the Bhagavatam class that Prabhupada gave us every day is a special thing also. At least for chanting one sloka every day. Prabhupada once said we should memorize that sloka every day. I haven't been able to pull that one off. Anybody do that? We're not this Kali Yuga. In previous ages, they didn't need a book and writing because the guru would speak and the disciple would remember it for the rest of his life, whatever he heard, perfectly. Years later, the guru could ask him and he could repeat it. But now, we're lucky if we can keep it on our MP3 player, you know, keep track of our iPod or something. But bhakti is everything. And Prabhupada, there's a verse that I don't know, but he's paraphrasing it here in this purport, that if you're doing, you know, all kinds of austerities, but you're not doing bhakti, then there's no use to the austerities. And if you have bhakti, then there's no use doing all these other things. So he lists, you know, a lot of different material opulences. Severe austerities. So many people do great austerities. We see the yogis at Kumbh Mela or something. But what to speak of the materialists just trying to make money or trying to achieve some sports record or something. You know, right? They really have to work. You know, if they want to go to the Olympics or something. I saw one advertisement and the guy was a champion of going underwater without, you know, by himself. 700 feet he can go down. You know. And then he's trying for more, even though he has the record. So it's a great tapasya. He has to training all the time, very dangerous. But what is the use of it? Except he gets in the record book. Probably kill himself doing it also, but so many people do great austerities, but Prabhupada said our austerities are not so difficult. Chanting 16 rounds every day, going to the morning program, you know, reading the Bhagavatam. But even that we have trouble. But those are the things we should try to do. You know, eat only prasadam, right? Don't eat too much. You know, a little tapasya. But it's for Krishna. Whatever we do should be for Krishna. That's for bhakti. So what is the use of, you know, hearing and remembering all kinds of things, studying the Vedas, speaking very eloquently? So many people can do that. Great scholars of so many subjects, speaking so nicely. But without bhakti, it's just all a word jugglery. Mental speculation. You know, that's just what's required. One devotee, Ishvar Krishna Prabhu from Israel, he was studying at Oxford for a PhD, and the mentor he had, you have to take a mentor, you know, almost like a guru, surrender. He told him, you're not speculating. You're just repeating your guru. You have to speculate. That's why we don't recommend everybody to go into academia, because it's a very good trick to look like you're speculating without speculating. Right? Not so easy. Very few can do that, but they have great intelligence, you know. It says here they can, you know, invent so many things for sense gratification. We see that especially today, how these people are glorified, like this Steve Jobs. You know, he invented many things to enhance sense gratification. Fortunately, we can use those things for Krishna's service also. You know, all these recording devices and computers and, you know, all the things that they're actually being invented for sense gratification. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the devotees are utilizing everything to spread Krishna consciousness. But we have to be careful, you know, right? have to be careful with these things, not get too carried away, you know, because they can also be used for sense gratification. But they're so expert, and they're just, you know, great intelligence, great tapasya it's acquired, working very hard. But that is all useless. The goal is bhakti, it's Krishna. So that sounds to the materialist or even to the speculators, like at the Mayavadis in Varanasi when Lord Chaitanya was there. You know, they were studying the Vedas very much. They were great scholars, Vedanta Sutra. Very, very learned. And they would criticize Lord Chaitanya, you know, he's a sentimentalist. And just singing and dancing all the time, you know. And they were laughing at him. And then when they met him, and he came by his causeless mercy to their gathering, and he sat down in the foot washing place. But then he exhibited a dazzling effulgence, said like thousands of suns or something, and they'd never seen such a thing. So they were very impressed, and they asked him to please come and sit in an exalted place. He said, no, you know, I'm a lesser type of sannyasi. I'm just a, you know, but they insisted. And they asked him, you know, why are you sannyasi? Why aren't you studying Vedanta all the time? Why do you just sing and dance with a bunch of fools singing and dancing? That's what it looks like to these, you know, puffed up scholars. But when he explained everything, they started to believe him also. Prakasananda never really quite caught it. One of his followers, he heard Lord Chaitanya speaking and to Sanatana Goswami when he gave for the second time the explanation of the Atma Rama verse and how many times, 60 different ways or something. And so this disciple of Prakasananda, who was said equally learned and everything, became so bewildered that he started just glorifying Lord Chaitanya everywhere, you know, in bhakti. The fools think that bhakti is just for children, old ladies. You know, I know those stories. You know, my grandmother told me about Krishna. I know, yeah. The first book I read that was from India was supposed to be the Patanjali's Yoga Sutras or something. And it said bhakti is the easy way. And I thought, I'll do the hard way. You know, I'm not a wimp. But I didn't do anything, fortunately. And then finally, I met devotees. And it's simple, but it's not so easy, because to actually achieve bhakti, we had to give up the false ego. You know, we had to give up things. And we're getting purified. And, you know, the mental speculators, the tapasvis, they're becoming proud more and more. The more they so-called advance, they become proud of their learning, they become proud of their tapasya, they become proud of their, you know, accomplishments, their fame or whatever it is. But a devotee is becoming more and more humble. And he's giving up the false ego and giving up all, you know, connections with the body and all everything. And giving everything to Krishna and understanding that everything comes from Krishna. So it's a simple process. Chant Hare Krishna, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. It's not so difficult. Dance for the deities. You know, offer everything to Krishna. But we want to offer ourselves to Krishna fully. Not just offer some flowers, you know, or some incense or some boga, you know, but everything. Offering our life, body, mind and soul, words, everything to Krishna all the time. So that may not be so easy because Maya is very strong and conditioning is very strong. But if we depend on Krishna and we take shelter of the parampara and the spiritual master then who represents it, they'll save us. It'll pull us out. On our own, we can't do much, but we can just try. We have desire to surrender, to render service, you know, to chant for Krishna's pleasure. And Krishna will help us. We have to keep trying. It's not so easy. You know, many, many obstacles come. But Prabhupada said, I can kick away all those obstacles. 1 minute, instantly, if we just take shelter of him. So we're here. We're very fortunate that Prabhupada gave us this society, which is simply bhakti. And not only practicing, but spreading, you know, giving. That's why we have the temple, you know, so we can see how many people are getting, you know, a chance to render a little service to Krishna, to begin their. I heard something like 10,000 come every day here, you know, so they all darshan, they're bowing down and seeing all these leelas and chanting japa over there and then getting books, getting prasadam, you know, hearing the kirtan. So that's a special mercy. And not only that, the devotees are going out. We have all those buses and all these books and distributing books like crazy all over the world. We have to congratulate the Indians now. They're distributing about 70% of the books in the world or something in India. You're a different generation. In the early days, in Prabhupada's time, the leaders were saying it's impossible to distribute books in India. But devotees kept trying, and you know, because everybody said, we already have it, I have Bhagavad Gita, I don't need it, I know everything. But somehow, by the constant endeavor of the devotees and the chanting and the temples, people began to realize that there's more. And that everyone who reads Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's as it is, you know, Yatha Rupa Bhagavad Gita, even though they may have read so many Bhagavad Gitas, they may be so-called scholars, if they read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, then they realize now, we've seen it, many say that, now I understand it, I never understood it before. Because Prabhupada made it very clear, he just simply presented exactly what Krishna is presenting. And he told us one time, he said, it's not, anyone can be a guru. He said that in a Bhagavatam class, and he hesitated for some time in ecstasy, and then he said, you just have to say, it's very easy, he said, you just have to say what Krishna says. Right? But, because of this, mental speculation and that's tapasya, to say what Krishna says, to not speculate. The materialists will say, "Why? What's wrong with you, Hare Krishna? All you do is repeat what your guru said. You know, can't you speculate? Don't you have anything new and different?" Prabhupada, one day in the morning Bhagavatam class in Los Angeles, he said, you say that you don't have love for Krishna. He said, but I see you're coming every day to the class. And then he said, and the class is the same every day. He said, I never have anything new to say. Just Krishna's God, chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Krishna. He ran off a few things like that. But you're coming every day, he said, so that means you have love for Krishna. That was his vision. At least we wanted somehow or other, you know, by causeless mercy, you're attending the class, you know. And we're all saying the same thing every day, but it's always new and fresh. Every verse is full of nectar. There's so much repetition of the same theme, but that's all nectar because it's Krishna. The sages at Naimisharanya said, keep talking, tell me more. We never tire of hearing this. Arjuna told Krishna, tell me more and more. We never tire of hearing it. You know, the essence of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, verse 55, is that, you know, there's nothing greater than devotional service. Krishna is right there. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The greatest, you know, like Hanuman is so popular in India, so famous, right? All over the world now, people know Hanuman. They know he's, because he's a devotee, right? That he's a great devotee of Lord Ram, totally surrendered. He never wanted to merge into Ram or become Ram, or you know, take, like the Mayavadis say. We were at one temple in Nigeria, one Hindu temple, and the speaker, he asked for questions. So he had his friend ready there, and he said, "Is the meaning of the Bhagavad Gita that you're supposed to become Krishna?" And he said, "Yes, that's right." We tried to argue, then he said, "We don't have time now. We'll talk about it later." But Hanuman never tried to become Krishna. They have their deity there, Sitaram, Hanuman. They have Radha and Krishna. Radharani never wanted to become Krishna. She must serve Krishna, right? Nobody wanted to become Krishna. How can we become Krishna? And that means they know nothing about Krishna. We can become like, have the qualities of Krishna by association with Krishna, by service, by getting close to Krishna. Then we can become, you know, more aware of our transcendental nature, that we're not these bodies, you know, that we're Satchitananda Vigraha, eternal servants of Krishna. Not just, you know, some whatever we think we are, whatever everybody thinks they are. I'm a big speculator, professional speculator, word jugglers. So many word jugglers are famous. All these poets and singers, you know, they juggle words very nicely. Make beautiful poetry. Bewilder everybody. Even the newspaper, they can write so nicely. Bewilder everybody. Say one thing one day and make everybody believe it. Say the opposite thing the next day, make everybody believe that. You know, whatever is convenient for the sales, they can't just stick to the same thing. They have to change it all the time. But devotees, they stick to Bhagavad Gita. They stick to repeating and they get purified. And intelligent people become attracted. They become purified also by contact with devotees. It's very important to meet people, talk to people, give people a chance to associate with devotees. That is our movement. That's why we temple. That's why we have traveling parties. That's why we go out and distribute books and go out and preach everywhere. You know, work very hard to find venue to meet people. We use the internet. Welcome anybody who's watching, you know. I don't know how many watch. Quite a few watch, actually. In Mayapur, they'll always come and tell the speaker how many people watch today. And they even get questions from the internet, right? You know, somebody's writing in. So that devotees are utilizing all these things that were apparently made, you know, for sense gratification, but they're really made for Krishna. They're made for the Sankirtan movement. All this, the whole, all these cities and everything that's going on, all the miseries in the world, you know, that are going on, they're meant to help the Sankirtan movement. It, you know, make people realize that you really can't enjoy the material world. There's always something, you know. Some flood is coming somewhere, some tsunami, some, in Japan, the radiation is coming, nobody knows what's going on. You know, the economy is shattered. All their dreams, you know, they had so much faith in the technology. They were thinking they don't even have to grow food, you know. They just make electronic devices and make money and buy food. But it doesn't work, you know. And so we take advantage. It's called Yukta Vairagya. But make sure we're very careful. Utilize everything in Krishna's service. Wherever we go, you know, yare deke, tare deke, Krishna upadesh. Wherever you go and whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. You give them the Bhagavad Gita. Help them. You know, give them a chance to elevate themselves. And then agnai guru hoy, tare desh. You become a guru and you liberate your land. You save the people of your country. That's our real mission. Everyone, you know, preach. If there's no one to preach to, preach to yourself, Prabhupada said. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Read the all the Prabhupada's books. Not just sell them, but read them, know about them, know what's in them, so we can help people to understand them, help people to come and serve Krishna, show, you know, go and distribute, you know, exhibit our ecstatic kirtan and dancing, just like even this Devananda Pandit, puffed up scholar, just by seeing an ecstatic devotee dancing, and we changed. We wanted to serve the devotee without even understanding anything. He just wanted to serve him because he looked so blissful. People are attracted, you know, when they see the Harinam. Especially in these countries, we usually go in tourist areas and London and everywhere. And people just stop like anything. Everybody's taking pictures, taking movies, you know. You see, if you go on the Polish beach, some people, they turn on their, they call somebody and have them listening to the kirtan, you know. They call them on their cell phone and tell them, look, and they have the movie going or something, you know. And so many pictures, people in their hellish, you know, dress, you know, taking pictures of the Harinam. Everywhere they join and dance, in Tel Aviv, in Israel, you know, they just join and dance like crazy, sometimes for 30, 40 minutes, dancing, chanting, all over the world like that, wherever we go. The holy name just attracts everyone. The devotees want, we want to present it more and more in any way we can. Just get it out there. Now it's all over the internet now. People, we have no idea how many people are tuned in somewhere hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, looking at pictures of Krishna, right? Looking at temples, you know, this temple, people can just, on their cell phone, they can catch anything that's going on by Haridas Prabhu's mercy. You know, hard work. And the temple gets a little money every time they watch also. It's a good business. So I want to thank you all for, you know, being in the temple, for coming to the class. That's a little tapasya, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. But that's a good tapasya. Tapasya, like these people that do great tapasya, you know, practicing for whatever they're practicing for, they get something. They don't always get the world record. And even if they get it, you know, it doesn't last very long. Who cares? But they get something. But when we do our tapasya for Krishna, the preaching is the real tapasya, going out, and we get a lot. It attracts Krishna's mercy then. In a temple like this, you don't have to go out. So many book tables, so many ways to preach to people coming, right? They're just piling in all the time. The pujaris are preaching by dressing the deities very beautiful. The cooks are preaching by, you know, having nice prasadam to give people. The cleaners are preaching. The more clean and nice it is, the better, right? Impresses people. So it's a preaching movement. If you're just here looking happy, it's preaching. Everyone who sees you becomes enlivened. So I'll stop and see if there's any questions. Yes, sir. We have a mic. Otherwise, I can't hear. Anyway, you can shout, I guess. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. It is said that Krishna gives liberation to his devotees easily, but he may not give devotion or bhakti that easily. Why?
He doesn't give liberation to devotees, and devotees don't ask for liberation. For those who want liberation, they're not devotees. They can get that, you know. But we're singing every day now, Varam Deva Moksham Namoksha Vading Va, right? What is the use of any benediction, even liberation, even Vaikuntha? You know, we want this. So bhakti doesn't come so cheaply because it means intimate association with Krishna. So there's a filter, right? To make sure you really want to only serve Krishna. Then Krishna gives bhakti. If you give it, to anyone who wants it. But devotees don't ask for any kind of liberation. Right? Automatically liberated. Bilba Mangal said that liberation is sitting as a maidservant at my doorstep. Right? It's an insignificant thing. Like sometimes people ask us, do you have peace of mind? You know, it's like, what? Right? No, we don't have peace of mind. We're disturbed, you know, because everybody's suffering and we can't really do enough to rescue all of them. What is this peace of mind, you know? It'd be a cow or something, right? Cows have peace of mind, you know. Devotees, like Mother Yasoda, anxiety, you know, for Krishna, right? Oh, and she had intense anxiety all the time, you know, to take care of Krishna, protect Krishna, feed Krishna, dress Krishna. Huh? Yeah, discipline. She wanted to go out with him, you know, in the cow herding time, and had to argue with Krishna. And you know, she wanted him to wear shoes because, you know, they're going in the forest. And you know the Vrindavan forest, right? There's thorns and everything. And I'm sure it wasn't as bad as it is now. The roads are much worse than the forest. But Krishna said, no, I can't wear shoes, you know, because the cows don't have shoes. So I can't wear shoes. And Mother Yasoda was insisting. So he said, all right, if you can make shoes for all the cows, then I'll wear shoes. So she gave up. Said, okay, go. But she's worried, you know, said, we're worried. Lord Chaitanya was in anxiety about all the people suffering in Kali Yuga. And he asked Haridas, and then Haridas, you know, preached to him how the Sankirtan movement was liberating everyone. And then he became, you know, pacified. And Prabhupada said, that's the duty of the devotee, is try to pacify the guru and, you know, make him understand. Because we feel anxiety. These people are suffering, you know. It's like the karmis. When there's a big emergency in the world, like the tsunami, everybody, you know, starts to become a little compassionate. They're worried about the victims. I was in America right after that hurricane, and I saw, like, everywhere people collecting money and, you know, people volunteering. They were coming from all over the world. And then I thought, like, Prabhupada, he had that all the time, you know, this urgency that it's a disaster. The whole material world is a disaster. It's always a birth, death, disease, and old age. Everybody's suffering because they don't know Krishna. So therefore he had, you know, he so much shakti to never deviate his mind from thinking of how to help people, how to, you know, and therefore he inspired devotees to do miraculous things as all of you are still doing. Right? Isn't it? So do you want liberation? You got it. As long as you're chanting. It's a nothing, you know. It's a cheap thing. Right? It's a cheap... And it's temporary also. It's temporary. Because you can't stay in a zero condition. Any other question?
Instead of criticizing Mayavadi, should we not conquer them? Should we not win over them? We have been criticizing Mayavadi.
Well, yeah, we should. That's what I said. We should be out dancing in ecstasy, giving them books, giving them prasadam, right? We're not criticizing them that they're suffering. We're trying to help them. So that's why we want to have a beautiful temple that wins people over, you know. They start to think, wow, what is that, you know. People come in, they have no idea sometimes what it is. They just want to see it. So we want to, you know, always be, right, happy, always be welcoming people. Right? No, you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Win them over with prasadam especially. you know. There's a saying in America, for women, the way to a man's heart is through their stomach. Of course, Indian wives know that. But it's becoming more and more they don't feed. But Prabhupada said, prasadam is our secret weapon. You want to say something?
Just in response to that.
Huh?
Just in response to...
Yeah. Go ahead.
The Srila Prabhupada set up ISKCON not to criticize the Mayavadis, but he had to explain about Mayavad to us so we don't become, you know, bewildered and become attracted to Mayavad philosophy. So he wanted to train us to make sure we understood the difference. So that's why he appeared to be criticizing Mayavadis, but he's not actually. He glorified them also as sadhus, because they're actually following religious practices.
Okay. And when he called people rascal, he said, I'm not doing Krishna's saying. Abhijananti mamudha. Fools and rascals, they criticize Krishna. You know, so those people are very hard, but the common people are just bewildered and being misled, like, for so much sense gratification. You know, Bombay is becoming... I drove yesterday back and forth to Chowpatty. So, previously, a few years ago, there was nothing but cigarette hoardings, but somehow they banned those, I guess. But there's one particular one which reminds us of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, Symptoms of Kali Yuga. You know, beauty will be judged by the hair. So there's one particular hair advertisement. And there's, I don't know, every time I looked up, you know, there it was. And sometimes five or six in a row. Just this woman with the huge hair, and then it said, you know, this stuff will make your hair wonderful. Cure all the hair problems. Beauty will be judged by the hair. And they're very dedicated to that one. And all the high fashion designers and, you know, just bewildering people that you can be happy by having these, you know, all the cars, you know. Now Bombay, you see, going to the beach, you know, all these big cars, right? When I first came to Bombay, there was only ambassador cars and Padminis, you know, Premier Padmini for taxis and ambassadors. Not so many either, and they were all the same color, right? And there was a few imported cars, but not very many. But now so many, and the biggest, most expensive ones. And then I only see the empty ones, but on the beach you see all these big fancy dogs, you know. So they have this big car to bring the big dog to the beach, you know, that they pay big money for some imported dog, right? There's all kinds of dogs there anyway, but that they have a guy's professional dog walkers, and, you know, Kali Yuga is coming up strong. But we want to help them. So if we're chanting and they see us, and maybe they, you know, they pay some respects, and they come to the temple also. You know, Prabhupada's genius, you know, make the temple here. And that's what we want, temples all over the, you know, everywhere. Make it very easy for people to meet devotees and associate with the kirtan, which melts the heart of anyone. The Vaishnav kirtan, the Chaitanya kirtan, melts the heart of anyone. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Rasa Bihari ji ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. See, even here, the most beautiful dresses for the deities, but the tailor is a Muslim. So that, you know, the deities are engaging, they're not discriminating, you know. They engage everyone. He's been sewing the clothes from the beginning, you know. And they're so nice. Hare Krishna.